This is the Empowering C-Sections podcast with Barefoot Mama, episode 3. In this podcast, we are going to talk about the different incision closures, which ones might be best for you, and which ones should be avoided. Hello, belly birth warriors. I'm so happy that you guys have joined me here on episode 3. Thank you for all the support and feedback you guys have already given me. I'm excited to continue growing, so make sure that you leave your 5-star reviews on Podbean, iTunes, Google, or wherever it is that you're listening, and make sure to come and join me on Facebook and Instagram so that we can grow bigger and encourage other women to find this podcast and find our message. So I got staples with my first C-section because it was unplanned, unexpected, and I was just doing whatever the OB wanted me to do, and I didn't even think about different closures. So she used dissolvable staples. And dissolvable staples leave a thicker incision. They also leave a lot more scar tissue, and they take longer to heal from because they're much thicker than dissolvable stitches, which is why it takes longer and leaves more scar tissue. So there's also the possibility of getting stapled shut with normal staples, and this leaves train track scarring. So on the outside, you've got like lots of dots and stuff showing where all the staples were and lines possibly. And both types of staples, the dissolvable kind and the removable kind, they are more likely to pop off. So your incision is more likely to reopen and get infection. Luckily, mine did not reopen. However, I could feel the staples underneath even like years after. So days, weeks, and months after, it was pokey. Like, I could feel that something was trying to poke its way out. And I could feel this really sharp object underneath my skin, and it felt awful. And it was super duper itchy. It still gets itchy because during my second C-section, they were able to cut a smaller incision. So portions of my old scar are still there, and really the only problem areas that I have are on the edges of my scar, and that is where the staples still are. And that was always the problem area, was on the very edges of my scar. Like, if pants would rub on it, or if my kid while he was breastfeeding would kick it or something, then it would get red and swollen and unbearably itchy. So staples were not fun. And then stitches, there is a possibility of having the like individual stitches where they stitch once, tie it off, stitch again, tie it off, stitch again, tie it off. Or there's the subcutaneous continuous stitch, which means that it is all under the skin, so you don't see any stitches on the outside, and it's all one continuous stitch, so there aren't many knots, which knots are the worst. I found that out with my stitches on my vaginal tears. Ugh, the knots were hands down the most painful and awful part of the stitches. So less knots when it's a continuous stitch. And then with my C-section, they had a removable stitch. So a week after the C-section, I went into the office and they just cut the knot off on one end, and they used the other knot on the other end and just yanked out the stitch, which I thought sounded awful, but it really just felt like lots of teeny tiny scabs popping off. And it was just kind of itchy, just felt like little pinches, not too bad. And now, after only having purely dissolvable stitches on my labias, I really appreciate that removable stitch, because like I felt like I had already healed where my tears were, but my body just had to finish up dissolving the stupid stitches that were just hanging out on the outside. So everything felt pretty good under the skin, but everything above the skin still had to be dissolved. Like, it was awful. And this was definitely on my labias. It was not a subcuticular stitch. It wasn't under the skin. It was above the skin. So it was like looping over and over and over on the skin, even though it only had one knot. And hands down, the subcutaneous suture is much better. So there is also glue available. The only concern with the glue is that if you're allergic to it, so if you're thinking you're going to have another C-section, definitely try and see if you can get your OB to test the glue on a portion of your skin on your stomach to make sure that you don't react poorly to it. And if you get any rashing or itches, then you probably shouldn't use glue, because can you imagine having a lot of itchy red stuff where you're trying to heal? So glue is the one that leaves the best scar. It is the smallest and thinnest. So if you are allergic to it, or if your OB doesn't do it, then definitely the preferred method is suturing. So you can talk to them about it and ask them what kind of sutures they use or what kind of closures they use. If they use staples, stay far, 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 far away from them and try to find a different provider, because you might think it's not a big deal, but go back and listen to Lori's podcast, and Lori's experience shows that the difference between stitches and staples mean that it is absolutely worth it to make a NICU team and to make the surgery team and everyone pause and go get the proper materials, because stitches are absolutely a better recovery and they have a lot less risks for you and future babies. So an OB spoke at an ACOG, which is the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology. So they have an annual clinical and scientific meeting, and an OB spoke at their meeting and he said that staples should only be used if the mother is hemorrhaging, and so she needs to be closed up really fast. If the mom is not hemorrhaging, there is no reason to use staples. The resulting scars are significantly better and the recovery is better with sutures. So stitches apparently are so much better than staples. The subcuticular continuous stitch is used during plastic surgeries, and that's what they use because it's the most physically unnoticeable, or the one that fades away better and leads to a smaller scar. So if you want plastic surgery quality scars, then definitely go for the subcutaneous stitch. And then they're unsure of what the closures, or of how the closures affect your risk for rupture in the future. But definitely make sure that your provider sutures two layers in your uterus. If they do single layer repairs in your uterus, then that definitely increases your risk. So that is one thing that they know increases your risk of rupture. So make sure that your provider sutures both layers of the uterus, and then that they suture like at least seven layers total. So that means that they're suturing your fat layer, your fascia, and your skin all individually. That's why staples aren't very good, because they're more likely to just staple everything together, and the resulting scar tissue is more likely to adhere all of your organs together, which is awful. So I will include a checklist of what you want your provider to do in a cesarean, and this includes two layers of sutures in the uterus, at least seven layers of sutures total for your whole area, and a subcutaneous continuous stitch, which means that the stitch is entirely under the skin except for the knots at the end, and that it is all one stitch instead of loops. And if you can, get someone who does a removable stitch. So after a week, they go in and take the stitch out, because I think that was definitely the best healing I've ever had, was getting that subcutaneous continuous stitch and then having the skin stitch removed after a week, because really after 5 days everything should be sealed up, and so after that it's just more work for your body to be dissolving a completely other foreign object. So hands down, try to get the removable stitch. Make sure, if you have any say in it before it happens, that you make sure that you're using the best materials. And afterwards, during recovery, make sure that you are massaging your incision. So whatever closure you got, but especially if it's staples, that means you're going to have an immense amount of scar tissue, and you want to be massaging that as much as you can, as soon as you can. So as soon as it's bearable, start massaging your scar, and we will have a future podcast episode about scar massage, because it's definitely amazing, but you know, the sooner you start, the better. Closure type matters because of the amount of scar tissue that it creates. When you have more scar tissue, it leads to more complications, such as a placenta accreta, which means that the placenta starts growing through the scar tissue, and it could even potentially start growing on the bladder and other surrounding organs. And it also leads to more hemorrhaging when the placenta is growing through the scar tissue. Another complication is more likely for placenta previa to happen. Because there's more scar tissue, it affects where the placenta is and its ability to grow upwards and away from your cervix. So it's more likely for the placenta to grow over the cervix and cover it, therefore making vaginal delivery impossible or more difficult. Another complication that providers do not talk about, like I never heard an OB talk to me about this, was that with each repeated C-section, you are increasing your risk for having an ectopic cesarean pregnancy or a cesarean scar pregnancy, which means that your embryo implants directly into your scar. And this has like a super high death rate if you allow it to continue. So there have been very, very few women and babies who have survived a cesarean scar pregnancy. So most are recommended to abort the baby. And it cannot be a normal abortion usually. It has to be a more chemical abortion, more like chemo, essentially, because it's more difficult to remove the entire placenta and everything. So you have to use a chemical process to adequately remove all of the tissue. So this is one thing to consider if you are thinking of just having repeat C-sections without trying for a VBAC, that with every C-section, you are increasing your risk for a cesarean scar pregnancy. That's all for now. Let me know what incision closures you received during your C-sections. You can email me at Kimberly@barefootmama.com, or you can find me on Instagram or Facebook at Barefoot Mama Blog. That's BEARFOOTMAMA blog. You can private message me on Facebook or direct message me on Instagram or email. So thank you for listening. We'll see you next week when we talk about Rosie's birth story and the importance of having 3 birth plans.